Lashana Tova Tiketevu, which means may you be inscribed for a good year. And welcome to the Shofar Ministries program. This is Dan with my lovely wife and Bible teacher, Sheila Crawford, who we'll be sharing in a moment. But please, let's bow our heads and join me in this opening prayer. Abba, Father, we thank you, we praise you, and give you honor. Guide us by the light of your Holy Spirit in this increasingly dark world. We constantly lift up all our loved ones that need your salvation. Keep pulling at the strings of their heart and do whatever it takes for their eyes to be unveiled. We also beseech your healing power on the listeners tonight from the suffering from any disease and for those particular requests recently given to us. Show mercy to the continuing refugees escaping from the Middle East, that through their afflictions they will seek you, the real Jesus and God over all. For you alone are the world's only real hope. Bless tonight's study, and may you alone be glorified. In Yeshua's name, amen.
Amen. And thank you, dear. And shalom aleichem. We have a little new word here. And that's to all our listeners, and it means peace be upon you. Now, if someone should approach you and say shalom aleichem, the appropriate response is aleichem shalom. So you kind of reverse it and means unto you peace. Anyway, just thought you might want to learn a little bit extra today on these sayings. But we are less than a week away from the start of the three fall feasts that occur every fall season, all within the same Hebrew seventh month of Tishrei, beginning with God's real new year. And they celebrate this from, actually this year it'll be this Sunday at sundown for 2 days, till Tuesday at sundown, again on the Jewish calendar of Tishrei 1 and 2.
Well, you know, maybe some listeners are curious as to why it's for 2 days.
Okay, well, because way back then, the new moon could only be proclaimed when they saw its first sliver for that month. So just to be sure they really saw it, they made Rosh Hashanah a two-day feast. And it was a two-day feast when Jesus was here. And actually, Rosh Hashanah means, in Hebrew, head of the year. Rosh means head and Shana means year. So it took on a common expression of no one knows the day or the hour, because really only God can pinpoint the actual moment.
And you know, believe it or not, we didn't have NASA back then telling us when it was.
Right. Yep.
I do know that you're going to expand on that expression tonight, as well as some other idioms also associated with God's new year, right?
I will. For each appointment has its own familiar idioms. And next week, when we look at Yom Kippur, we'll see some for that appointment, too.
Okay. Any news that should be shared this week?
Well, of course, the first debate was last night. And according to whom you might be speaking, both the Democrats and the Republicans think their candidate had the upper hand. I do think Trump had some missed opportunities, and Hillary, she really was well prepared and displayed no signs of health issues that have been revealed in the recent past. Trump showed he's not a polished politician, which they're saying is actually a good thing. But he seemed to be fighting a cold accompanied by many sniffles.
Yeah, that was a big argument match, but he does have a nervous sniffle anyway.
Right. I have noticed that, but let's keep him in prayer, saints. Let's see. Benjamin Netanyahu, Prime Minister of Israel, met with both Hillary and the Donald on Sunday and commented that both were ready to work hand in hand together.
Adding that I think what he really meant to say was it doesn't matter who wins the presidency.
Actually, he did say that.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Naturally, that is what we all expected to hear. But you do wonder if he really means it. But Bibi's main concern, which he voiced to them and Putin last week, is Iran forming a caliphate in the Middle East.
Well, you know, that's been Iran's goal for as long as I can remember.
Well, and not just for Shiite power, but to build the underground pipelines to the Mediterranean to connect with Russia's pipelines and thereby servicing all of Europe, enhancing a monopoly.
Cha-ching.
While we were on that subject, Israel just signed a major deal with Jordan to sell them natural gas from Israel's Leviathan field, which will generate most of their electricity. Now, many of the Jordanians are not happy, for obvious reasons, working with Israel. But since their supply from Egypt has been cut off, there is really not much choice. Gee, amazing how many Sunni countries are getting along better with Israel these days. It is the hook that will make Russia, who is hurting economically due to low gas prices right now, and that, of course, was intentionally done by Saudi Arabia, but they're going to attack Israel along with Iran and a few others so they can control all the gas and oil.
And God will let them try, as we read in Ezekiel 38.
Yes, that's right. You know, it's really amazing to watch it all come together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is.
Remember when Israel had no oil, but prophecy buffs knew they would discover it, so to fulfill prophecy, to hook the enemy.
That's, you know, that's just fascinating. And what's the latest on ISIS?
Oh, U.S. military officials are fully expecting ISIS to unleash their chemical weapons arsenal as Iraqi and Kurdish forces advance on their now-occupied capital in Mosul. The military has documented dozens of instances in which ISIS has used or tried to use chemical weapons.
The Pentagon says all U.S. personnel deployed to the region have been given equipment to protect themselves.
Right, and has also distributed thousands of gas masks to Iraqi security forces and the Kurdish Peshmerga is what they're called. So anyway, over here, some well-known economists are calling for a major turn in our economy, to our stock market, and a possible destabilization of the dollar, perhaps this Friday. And Jewish teachers like Jonathan Kahn says, as he said last year, that just before God's real new year, we could see some monetary turbulence.
But buying silver coins is a good idea.
Yes, it is. And I know many of you out there have already done that. Remember, we are in the season of Teshuvah, when God often chastises the people.
Warnings and wake-up calls.
We'll soon see, and I guess we'll address that issue next week, if we are still here.
Yeah. Okay, all right, then. You can send your end-time question by email to Sheila@shofarministries.net. Or call the office and leave your detailed message to 440-834-9006. Or by regular mail to Post Office Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. Your love offerings are very much needed and greatly appreciated, which automatically puts you on our mailing list for any updates and biblical teachings. You can also donate on our webpage, shofarministries.net, where all the past radio and instructional newsletters are archived for your added learning.
And, of course, we are at Chester Christian Center the first Friday of every month. That's in Chesterland, and next time will be October 7th, if we are still here. Otherwise, we'll see you in the air.
Hey, hallelujah to that. Okay, time to move on to Rosh Hashanah and the fall appointments of God that Jesus will literally and personally keep, just like he did in the spring with his death, burial, and resurrection. And then he sent us his Holy Spirit, as recorded in Acts 2.
Which are called Passover, unleavened bread, and first fruits, and 50 days later was Pentecost. But now still to be literally fulfilled, and the next in line is my favorite, for very obvious reasons, Rosh Hashanah, which begins this Sunday at sundown And then 10 days later, Yom Kippur. And then 5 days after that is Tabernacles. Now, the eighth feast is the Sabbath.
And his number is 8, meaning never-ending eternity.
That's correct. Of course, the Sabbath has been spiritually fulfilled by Jesus, who is our Sabbath, but coming literally too, as the Sabbath rest is the type of the millennial kingdom. Like a day is as 1,000 years, and the Sabbath rest of the millennial kingdom is also 1,000 years. Spiritually, if you are in Christ, you have entered that rest, and the kingdom is inside of you.
Like Hebrews 4 speaks about.
That's right. And actually, you can easily see there are 3 applications to these feasts or appointments or moedim in Hebrew. There's the historical, the literal, and then spiritually for every believer. So actually, spiritually, every believer has all 7 feasts.
Right. It's amazing how this teaching has been so neglected.
Well, good news. Some churches are now recognizing this treasure, but it should have been taught right alongside the Ten Commandments in Sunday school, which originated way back in Exodus in the Old Testament. It's not in the New, except that it combines all 10 with just 2 commandments. Remember Jesus said in Matthew 22:36-40, he says basically love God and love your neighbor. However, today's society needs it spelled out probably a little more precisely.
Yeah, for sure. You know, I heard someone say, and he said, yes, I love my neighbor. Hey, we have sex all the time. I don't think that's the way it was meant to be. If those two, you know, with those two, yeah. You do those two and you don't need the other 8.
Well, if you read all the New Testament, he does speak a lot on that. All throughout, as in Revelation 21:8, where he is specific and says, no, sexually immoral people will inherit the kingdom.
Okay, must move on to Rosh Hashanah.
Oh, that would be a good idea. Anyway, the first of 3 in the fall, still literally unfulfilled appointments of God. Now, at the end of the 6,000th year from Adam's creation, known only to God because the years in ancient days just weren't not calculated properly. So we don't know what year exactly, but the resurrection of the righteous, I do believe, will occur on the specific anniversary date of the creation of man, also called the Feast of Trumpets, because it's a memorial of the blowing of trumpets, and Leviticus 23:23 says it. In fact, why don't you read that?
In the 7th month, on the 1st of the month, you shall have a Sabbath rest, a memorial blowing of trumpets, a holy convocation.
So, for 30 days prior to the Feast of Trumpets, during Teshuvah, the Israelites would blow a shofar daily as a reminder and a warning to examine themselves thoroughly for anything that might keep them from being a part of the most talked about and most anticipated event some year called the resurrection. Now, let me be clear. This season called Teshuvah, which means to return to a closer union with God, wasn't just about repentance from sins, for they did daily sacrifices for those. But Teshuvah, as we've been saying, besides being a warning time from God and sometimes using severe weather, is more for those sins of, like, unforgiveness whereby you're holding grudges towards someone.
Right.
Or sins of omission of not being closer to him and instead letting the cares of this life supersede time with God in his scriptures. This is definitely that time to realize this and thereby show some remorse.
And many of us can certainly relate to this as well.
Well, yeah, right. As born-again Christians, Jesus was that ultimate sacrifice for our sins. But what about all those things we should have done and did not?
Maybe you are just downright backsliding.
Or perhaps you only have a head knowledge, not a real conversion of the heart. This would be the time to examine yourself. Because some year very soon, my friend, he will call up his bride. And James 5 says it will be in the season of the great harvest, which all know is in the fall. And again, I want to say,
maybe
might even be next week.
Glory be and hallelujah.
That's right. So, as a studier of Hebraic roots and its terminology, I and many others do expect the next appointment to be fulfilled will be the Feast of Trumpets, signified by the resurrection / rapture. So let's look at some common idiomatic phrases used for Rosh Hashanah. Okay? The most common one is the last trump. We've talked about this a lot, but this is probably the most misinterpreted idiom used by Paul in 1 Corinthians 15, and a perfect example of why some knowledge of Hebraic roots is so important. This is an expression of Rosh Hashanah due to the blowing of 100 trumpets, actually shofars, every day during the first 30 days of Teshuvah. One every day during Teshuvah and then 100 on the actual Rosh Hashanah. So that would usher in the last trumpet, which would celebrate God's creation. Sort of like the ball dropping in Times Square on December 31st. Honestly, the seventh angel that blows a trumpet in Revelation 11 is not the same as the last trumpet. In fact, Pentecost has the idiom of the first trumpet due to the fact in Exodus 19 it was the first shofar blown by God when he gave them the law at Mount Sinai. And Yom Kippur, which we will expound on next week, has the idiom called the great trumpet, as we see in Matthew 24:31, at his second coming, which will be on a Yom Kippur to gather his elect tribulation saints and the 144,000. Okay, let's move on. There's another term called the coronation, where they read Psalm 47:5. One reason why they use a round loaf of bread, because it symbolizes a crown. And this, again, is on Rosh Hashanah. All kings, by the way, were crowned on Rosh Hashanah, even if they assumed office earlier due to death. It was their inauguration day. And, of course, we know Jesus will be crowned when we get up there. So it follows along. It's also called Yom Terah, the Day of the Awakening Blast, because it's meant to awaken the dead. And it will. It's also called Chief of the Year. In other words, to begin over. Rosh Hashanah meals also include fruit and honey to symbolize the sweet new year. Typical saying to others. As we open tonight's program, Lashana Tova Tiki Tevu, may you be inscribed for a good year. It's also called Arise because the actual word resurrection isn't in the Old Testament. Instead, the picture of it, as in Isaiah 26, okay, he describes it, arise. It's also called open the gates, and again, that's Isaiah 26 right in the beginning, and we went into detail last week about that. So if you missed it, it's archived on our web page. And by the way, these gates are closed on Yom Kippur when he returns, also called the Nila. We'll talk about that next week. Day of Judgment, certainly to those left behind. And then, of course, we have the Bema Judgment, where the books containing the deeds of all humanity are opened before him. Malachi 3:16 speaks of the Book of Remembrance. So it's also called the Day of Remembrance. Please read that this week. It's really wonderful because it says, then those who feared the Lord, that's us, spoke to one another, and the Lord listens and he hears. So a book of remembrance is written before him for those who fear the Lord and who meditate on his name. And saints, this book will be opened on Rosh Hashanah at the Bema Judgment to get our rewards. It's also called the Hidden Day. And in Psalm 81:3, it says that blow the trumpet at the time of the new moon. And by the way, if your Bible says full moon along with that, that shouldn't be there. The King James has it right, and also the Septuagint. So it is blow the trumpet at the time of the new moon. The beginning of the month is determined by the first visible sighting, again, as I mentioned. And for its commencement, the shofar is blown one long blast. Numbers 10:10 states that the trumpets shown be blown at, should be blown at all new moons to sanctify the day and the offerings. But on the new moon of Rosh Hashanah, 100 trumpets were blown to differentiate that it was the new year. It's also called No One Knows the Day or the Hour, as I already mentioned, Mark 13:32. And if you keep reading in context, Jesus explains that he means you don't know which day or the exact hour of his return. For in verse 35, he adds, "Watch therefore, for you do not know when the master of the house is coming." And then he's specific, "In the evening, at midnight, at the crowing of the rooster, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping." And because Rosh Hashanah is for 2 days, you just don't know which day it will be. That's all that means. This fact is important too. Jesus is also using wedding terminology, because it was the father that told the groom when the hadar, or the wedding chamber, was ready to his specifications to go get his bride. And she didn't know for sure when that would be, but she did have hints from the groom's friends that it was getting close. As we also have some pretty big hints right now, because we have Jesus's friends too, who were Moses and Elijah. This is our word. The Torah was penned by Moses, and Elijah is known as the prophet over all the prophets. And these are the two who show up at the transfiguration. Really, it is. Our scriptures tell us how it will be and what signs to look for. That's why the bride is expecting a shout that she would hear from afar as he approached her. We will hear that shout of the shofar, and we'll meet him in the air very soon, maybe next week. So to us, it's the wedding of the Messiah. Let me repeat. God organized detailed wedding requirements for his first chosen with particular phrases that Jesus would use to give us, now the grafted in Gentiles, huge clues about how it will be for us. We can learn from that. And Paul clearly says so in Romans 15. He says that the things written before, referring to the Old Testament, is now for our learning, like gathering clues to find the treasure, those gold nuggets that so excite us when we discover one. They are there if you choose to dig for it. And remember 25:2 in Proverbs, God hides them so we can find them. And the more difficult the treasure is to find, the more we become like him and closer to him, so that not only do we know him, but he knows us too. All right, precious ones, if you are listening, you don't know Jesus, we could really be running out of time. Don't wait any longer. Make Jesus Lord over your life. And let the Lord bless you and keep you, and let him make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. And he will lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Till next time, Sha'alu Shalom, Yerushalayim. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem, because those who love her shall prosper. So keep looking up, and if I don't see you in the air, I'll be back next Tuesday with some more about the feasts. Shalom Aleichem.
Thanks for listening to this week's broadcast from Shofar Ministries, hosted by Sheila Crawford on AM 1220, The Word. If you would like to help keep this show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click the donate button on the left side of the page, and it will take you to the PayPal secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program was brought to you by Shofar Ministries.